proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Osman with the International Board of Jewish Missions. As we approach the Christmas holiday, we do well to look at the opening chapter of John's Gospel. That portion of Scripture described one of the most significant events that ever occurred in human history. John penned these words, quote, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In the light of eternal verities, what implications did these phrases have? Beginning with this session, we will look at each element of that statement. What about the Word becoming flesh? The Apostle Paul penned these words about the Savior's incarnation. In the second chapter of Philippians, he wrote, quote, "Being in the form of God, he, that is Jesus Christ, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men," unquote. In other words, the Savior did not merely resemble a man, he actually became flesh. Other religions have had their accounts of deities taking on the appearance of human beings. According to Greek mythology, for instance, Zeus often assumed a human form, particularly when he begat children on mortal women. In such cases, though, those deities retained their essential identity. They never actually became mortals. Jesus Christ remained God after his incarnation. As he told a Jewish crowd in the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, "I and my Father are one." He did not cease to possess divine attributes. Instead, he exercised his power and those attributes in submission to his Father's will. While retaining his essential deity, though, Jesus Christ became fully human at his incarnation. This circumstance enabled him to minister effectively to those who have sinned. As the author of Hebrews put it in the 4th chapter of his epistle, quote, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin," unquote. God fully communicated with the human race through Jesus Christ. Again in the Epistle of Hebrews, the writer points this out in the opening chapter. Quote, "God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son," unquote. When God spoke through Jesus Christ, his Son, God no longer had to send dreams and visions to prophets. Instead, he communicated directly with the human race by means of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. No veil existed to separate God from his people during those days that Jesus Christ walked the earth. At that time, those who beheld him saw God. Those who hearkened unto him heard the words of God coming from the mouth of God. In Revelation 21, John heard a great voice from heaven exclaiming, quote, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God," unquote. When Jesus Christ dwelt as a man in Israel, living among his own people, he foreshadowed that end time event. People could hear the words of God from the mouth of God, and understand that Jesus Christ, though a prophet, was much more than a prophet. He was God in the flesh, God incarnate. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio lesson about special holidays.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150. Or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.